Well, here we are again with another audio podcast. We're joined today, it's Matt Ritter, Dr. Matt Ritter, to discuss with us his take on World Pork Expo. We just finished it a week ago. Last week was World Pork Expo. So this is what I'm going to collectively call here the Ritter Rewind of the World Pork Expo. So we'll start with Matt. First of all, thanks for joining.
Yeah, thank you, David.
And I want to start with, why don't we just look back at last week, and we're a little bit removed from it. Give us your overall impression of World Pork Expo and what you thought about how we turned out this year.
Yeah, looking back, I was really proud of how we showed up as a collective team. Things started off, of course, with our podcast for the drive out there and review of our key messaging for Flex. We did get a lot of positive feedback from the team on that, and we're asked to keep doing that. So this is an extension of that ask. And also before Pork Expo, we had the pitch for National Hog Farmers Best New Product Tour, so the 2-minute pitch interview there. As we got out there, I thought it was really great to see Flex featured in both the booth and the tent, and a big shout out to Vicky and Michelle and Steve and Travis and Tony for all the hospitality work they did in the tent and the great food that they served up. As we went through Pork Expo, we had interviews on AgriTalks and Feedstuffs 365. Thursday, we had the Swisher Award, and we had a huge crowd. I mean, like Trump, huge crowd out there.
It was one of the biggest ones, for
biggest
sure.
Biggest ones.
Yeah.
Sea of Purple. And, you know, winning that National Hog Farmer Best New Product Award was just icing on the cake there of, you know, building off of great meetings that we had throughout the 2 days there. But when we got that award, there was a great sense of pride in the team. I think we really rallied to the occasion of, you know, the R&D group, the product management group, the sales group all worked together. The plants, manufacturing worked to get this product across the finish line. And I think that gave us a little bit of momentum and confidence leaving Pork Expo that, you know, we got the right product at the right time. People are listening and interested in what we've got there. So that felt really good. And, you know, the story didn't end there with Pork Expo. As you get on the internet on Friday, Pork Magazine had a featured story on the Swisher Award. National Hog Farmer had Best New Product announcement in their website. And then as we rolled into Monday, Jennifer Scheich, Pork Magazine, had the Swisher Award as one of the top 7 moments of the expo. And then Tuesday, the Feedstuffs 365 on Flex was dropped. So great job by our product management and marketing teams to keep the message out there and united front and center to our customers and to the industry.
You said Jennifer had it as one of the top 7. What number was it?
It was number 4.
Number 4. Hey, top 5 even.
Yeah. Top 5.
Top 5 of the top 7. You had shared a story too about just how it felt leaving Des Moines after the expo versus last time we were in Des Moines gathered as a group. You mind sharing that again?
Yeah, so was at Iowa Pork, and I looked the date up. It was January 22nd, and for those of you who were there, it was kind of an unforgettable day. About 10 o'clock in the morning, our phone started buzzing, and news had spread that Doug Wable was stepping down as the CEO of United. Lots of rumors flying around about United. I think several of us had to answer questions if we were going to be for sale. I think there was a industry perception that we were a dumpster fire. Must admit, when I pulled onto I-80 that day, it was a pretty long drive home. You know, lots. Felt like we were on a boat heading into a storm. It was cloud and thunder, lightning, winds picking up. A lot of uncertainty and ambiguity about where things were going to be. And as I pulled onto I-80 Thursday night, coming off the high of winning the Best New Product, great time with colleagues and customers, to me, it felt like the sun was starting to peek through. The winds were starting to die. The waters were starting to calm. The job's not finished, obviously, right? We've got work to do to continue to execute and follow up on, you know, this momentum we've got with Flex. But things felt a hell of a lot better, right? It feels like we have survived the storm. We've shifted from playing defense to now leaving Pork Expo. I think we're in a position where we can go play offense. We've got a new product that we can be proud of that fits a customer need. And as I've talked to all the account managers here over the last week, I think everybody's got trials lined up. And, you know, I got the question, how do we keep the momentum going? And I think that's a great question to hear for a team that's shifting to play offense versus on their heels playing defense.
Yeah, that is. You know, when you look at it, what's your answer to that? How do you keep the momentum and how do you play offense?
Well, obviously there's a story to share here about Flex and the award we've won. There's a couple of different ways we can do that. David and I were talking, you know, do you put together a short little paragraph with a link to the story on a National Hog Farmer, as well as that Feedstuffs 365 interview dropped.
When we were talking about that, I think that I'll go ahead and commit to this. It's like we'll get, I'll get with somebody and we'll get links out to all the stories that are out there. So everybody has those in their inbox and then you can pull a story out of that and maybe share that with somebody that maybe hadn't seen it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot to build off there. And I know if you've got a trial and you're waiting, this might be a nice little way to nudge, to accelerate that trial. So I would say keep pushing. Keep pushing. I think of all the nutrition companies out there, we were out the most in the public eye leading. And that was surely noticed by our customers and prospects.
And then you'd talk too about like the possibility of, in the near term, getting some customer perspectives on Flex?
Yeah, as I cycled through calls with account managers, that was one ask of, hey, it'd sure be great to hear some case studies and learnings from the field. And the one we've got lined up next would be with Dan Weiss sharing a customer example of where he's worked through with Protect.
Okay.
If you've, as our listeners think about it, if you've got an account where you've tried a program and had to tinker with it or had success out of the gate, let's use this forum going forward to share those learnings. So please bring those forward. And if we could have a great example on Protect, we've got Dan looking for others on intake and in drive as well. Let's bring those forward and capture these in this audio podcast format.
Yeah, because the simple way to do that would be if we got somebody willing to share the story, we can put you and them on the phone together, record that and put it out as a podcast just like this.
Yep.
And everybody can hear what's going on. And as you pointed out, it's like not only ones that worked flawlessly, but ones you had to tinker with are great too.
Yep.
Great stories.
Yes, exactly. And Dan's is going to be an example where he's had to tinker with it and had some learnings along the way that I think will be valuable for all to hear.
Okay, great. And then I think, too, it's like worth mentioning. I always think like when you're in this stage, it's easy to get a little fatigue around the message and you think people are tired of hearing about it. But that's not true. That's just you. So I really think it's important to say we all should be talking about this all the time. And a broken record, really. And there's going to be a lot of positive stories come out of this, and we're going to do our part in making sure that the messages keep flowing.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's a good reminder, too. And I think we always say, what does the marketing research say? You got to hear it how many times, David, for it to stick?
Well, in today's social media world, it's on social media, it's at least 7. You have to see something 7 times before you even register that it happened. It's like a quick aside, but I listened to an audio book the other day, and in it, the guy said, if you're going to listen to an audio, he's like, you should listen to it over the course of 60 days, just on repeat over and over.
Oh, wow.
And he said, why would you take an audio book that had value to you and not treat it just like you would treat your education in school, where you'd read the whole book, you'd study chapter by chapter, and you'd apply it, and then... So I thought I'd take him up on it at the very least. I said I'd listen to it, and I'm on my 3rd listen. And I swear, this morning I was running, and I paused it and I thought, I opened the wrong book. I was like, he did not say that. And but it turns out it's the same book. And it's like, wow. I had missed it. I'm on my fourth listen now. I'd missed it the three times before. And it was like a new section I'd never heard.
Wow.
So it's very strange what you tune out and what you tune in. So it's important that you understand that your customers aren't hearing it either. So you need to be saying it all the time.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. It's an easy one to miss too, right? So as we look at the rest of this year, outside of this rewind of Expo, we've got some momentum. How do we leverage that? How do we keep pushing forward with that? What are the things that are on the horizon that we can get excited about?
Yeah, actually this afternoon, Friday afternoon, we're going to address one of the key needs I heard out at Expo. I heard, hey, we need to see some data on Protect.
Okay.
To help position that with customers and justify the higher cost. I know as I visit with John Cleave, he was saying, well, Devinish is just saying this is more oats. I think this afternoon, as you see the data on the F-18 E. coli challenge model, you will realize it's doing more than just oats. So that'll be putting a piece to the puzzle there that's been missing that I think will help arm account managers going forward to help position Protect. And the additional cost there is driving value. It's going to improve livability and performance like we've expected it to. So just think of that as a key proof point. And then we will follow up, as I mentioned there, with these case studies from the field that further validate the trial data.
What else do you want to talk about? Anything?
Well, the other thing I would say is, we are obviously proud to win that award, but got some very excited phone calls from board members driving home Friday, and particularly Ellen Crabb was just extremely proud of the award and the recognition that the team had received. And I think it's a strong symbol of, hey, we have weathered through the storm. We've got through the turbulence. We've been head down, focused on deliverables. And that, hey, we're moving to offense, defense to offense. And great time. There's nothing more dangerous than a sales team that has confidence and momentum. And I can see it building in our teams. And it's now just a matter of time of going to execute.
Hey, that's for sure. That's the truth. And it's like, as you said, I think at the start of this and at Expo, it was like, it feels good to win.
It feels good
really
to win.
Good.
It feels good.
It does. There's no better feeling in it. And there were seven products in that new product tour and one via vote. So it was not like nobody looked at this or nobody did it and it's just a bunch of us. It was like there was it was over 1,000 votes. One by one vote. So if you're listening and you voted, it was you.
Your voice matters.
Everybody's voice mattered, for sure. All right, we've committed to doing more of these, so let's wrap up here so we still have some things left. I'm going to get some links put together, get those in people's inboxes. You're going to look at data this afternoon as it relates to Protect, and from there, we'll keep it rolling.
Yeah, and then one last question that came up at Expo that I don't have a good answer for, but I was asked the question probably four or five times of how can David Kane not be a fan of Alabama?
It's really, the answer's simple. I'd never heard of him.
You've never heard of Alabama?
Actually, I say that in joking, but I think if you went back to, I've had a transformation in my life, but if you go back to when I was in high school, I'm from a small town. I actually think if you dug through the records, I've been to an Alabama concert.
You have?
Yes. But it's like there was a point where I kind of men in black on my history, and it just like cleared my memory of my childhood. So, but I would be fairly certain when you talked about Alabama, I could picture him on the stage, and I think when I was in high school, I went to an Alabama concert. I think it was at the State Fairgrounds.
Could be. It was pretty popular. You had Mount Music, Dixieland Delight, gonna play in Texas.
Yeah.
It's not ringing a bell, is it?
No, it is. There's a couple of them in there. I'm just being a little stoic.
Yeah. But, well, listeners, I tried to get some insight into the mind of David Kane, and he is not playing along very well.
Steel trap.
Steel trap. All right.
That's right. All right. Till next time.
Till next time. Till next time, have a good one.
Thank you.